Man, where they're going to come knocking on your door. We're not living in a country, I don't think we are, where people are doing surveillance on you and watching you and seeing what you do. Although our government, even in this country, the way that our country's going, they don't appreciate that the Christian puts so much priority on God's word, that we even put God's word above what they might say or do. We're to obey the laws of the land. We're to live peaceably with all men as much as lies within us. Amen. As long as the laws of the land don't go against God's word, we are to obey them. But we have the freedom in America, and I thank God that we do have it, and we need to take advantage of it. What's it going to take? And I'm talking to myself too. What's it going to take for me to really get out there and witness for Jesus like I should? What's it going to take for me to really tell people about Jesus like I should? I don't even do as well as I could do or as I should do right now. Is it going to take a persecution rising against the church for me then to go out and be more determined to share Jesus in these times that we're living? We need to share Jesus wherever we go, because we say it, but many times it's just words that we say. We hardly believe what we say, because if we really believed what we were saying, we would be more busy out there letting people know about Jesus. Amen. And I hope that you're doing that. Let people know about Jesus. Let them know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by him. And be excited about what you have. And this treasure of salvation that we have. And you need to look at it this way. There isn't anybody in here, I don't care how timid or how shy you might be, there isn't anybody here that isn't going to have some kind of emotion if you get a letter in the mail tomorrow that you are entitled and have inherited, or whatever it is, $50,000. If you got a letter like that or a notice like that, would you just be like, that's nice? You wouldn't be calling anybody. You wouldn't say anything to anybody. You would just keep it to yourself. You might try to keep it to yourself for a while, but pretty soon it's going to burst out. You're going to be shouting. You're going to be telling people about the good fortune that came your way. Well, we have this salvation, and it's better than $50,000. And think about the day of your salvation, how excited you were about it. And you knew right away, this is what my friends need. This is what they're looking for. Man, this is what I've been looking for. Man, I found the answer. Oh, I'm so excited about it. And you go out there with the exuberance, and you tell your friends, and so on and so forth. Pastor Eastman's salvation story goes that way. He was so excited about salvation. Amen. He accepted Christ. It was on a Sunday morning. And his testimony goes, he thought, man, this is what my friends are looking for. This is exactly what they want. I know what they're searching, just like I was. And oh, Sunday afternoon, he went out and found his different friends and told them about the experience he had that Sunday morning. And a number of them looked at him and said, well, that was probably good for you, but we'll give you 30 days and you'll be back with us again. And they didn't go to church. And I'm happy to be able to report some of those that he talked to just recently, and they're older now too, because Pastor Eastman is, I think he's 87 years old now, and so his friends are older too, and I have received reports not so long ago that some of those ones have now accepted the Lord, have been baptized in water, not salvation through water, but you understand what I'm saying. That's a good thing, but it took them 50 or 60 years to catch up with what he found a long time ago. So you need to look at it like, this Jesus I have, it's worth more than $50,000. I got to share this with somebody. Amen. I got to share it with somebody. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope you do, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 is the first scripture that we're going to read this morning. And then we're going over to 2 Timothy. And I'm going to turn there right now because I want to read both of these scriptures before I get started. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And what I want to talk to you about this morning, this is something that came real strong to me this week, and I believe that's how the Lord speaks to us to let us know the direction that we should go in. Is the word intimidation came to me. Intimidation and fear. Intimidation is a tool of the enemy that he uses. If you feel intimidated, you won't do anything. Because with fear comes intimidation. With intimidation comes fear. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God, we thank you for your word today, God. We pray that you will bless the reading of the word and help us today, O God. Lord, as we share your word, God, that it'll be words that you want us to speak, God. Lord, that you'll minister to us. You'll help us that are gathered here today, those that are listening or are listening by Facebook, God. Lord, that we can find help in your word today. We thank you for it. In your name, Jesus, amen. And so the lion is probably one of the greatest intimidators that there is. The roar of that lion is to intimidate the enemy. It's to paralyze them. They hear that roar, they just stop in their tracks. And as I was preparing this, I was thinking, now if I get this wrong, I'm not a scientist, I'm not into animals a lot, but I think it's the gorilla, the male gorilla that'll thump his chest and make the noise and the hollering that he makes. And the reason that he does that, I believe, I could be wrong here, is to intimidate. To intimidate. And the enemy of your soul and of my soul, he sets out on a path and on a mission to intimidate us, to make you feel like you're really nothing. You're worthless. You can't do nothing for this God that you're serving. And he reminds us many times through intimidation, he will remind you of your past. He will remind you of your failures. He'll remind you of your frequent failures that are happening over and over again. And he will try to plant seeds of doubt and fear in your heart that you really don't belong to God. You're really nothing. You're never going to do anything for God. And he just keeps shooting those fiery darts at us, trying to intimidate us. And so intimidation, it can become a satanic stronghold in believers if we're not careful. Don't let that intimidation become a satanic stronghold in you as a believer. He wants you to feel like you're a flop, you're a failure. Every one of us in here this morning, myself included, if we just stop and analyze for a minute, we can remember quickly all of our failures this week, all of our shortcomings where we felt short of the glory of God, where we perhaps said something or did something or thought something that we know wasn't pleasing to God, and we come back to him and we have an advocate with the Father. And then that within us creates an intimidation like, I'm worthless. I'm not worthy. I can't do anything for God. I can't be a Sunday school teacher. I can't be a youth leader. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't stand up and testify. The enemy doesn't want you to stand up and testify, because by your testimonies, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Your testimony is, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I'm not going to frown at you if you stand up at testimony time and you would say something to the effect. Now, we don't want to be too negative, but you would stand up and say something to the effect, I had quite a battle this week and I didn't do as well as I should do, but I know by the mercy and grace of God, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me, and I'm going to have a better week this week. And if you start doing things like that, you will find yourself having a better week in the weeks that ahead by proclaiming the word of God and saying, I can do this. But instead of doing that, because things didn't go quite the way we wanted them to go and we didn't live up to the word of God as well as we know that we should have lived up to the word of God, we think we don't have a testimony. I can't say nothing. In fact, I'm ashamed of some of the things that perhaps happened in my life this week. And so we feel intimidated. We don't shout over sin. We don't shout over doing wrong, but we need to stand up. Amen. And make that open confession. If you don't stand up and do it in a testimony meeting, you can do that in your own prayer life. You can be talking to God and saying, God, things didn't go so good in my life this week. I did some things I know I did that were displeasing to you, and I'm ashamed of it, God, but I know that I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Lord, and your word tells me greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, and I'm going to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. You can encourage yourself in God, but instead of doing that, we just let that intimidation pull us down like, I can't make it. I can't do it. I'm never going to amount to anything in God. I'm probably never going to be able able to lead anybody to Jesus. And as far as that goes, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to make heaven my home because of the things that go on in my life. Amen. We need to rebuke the spirit of fear. Amen. And the power of the enemy. There's only two places for Satan according to the word of God. Amen. And that's under our feet. He needs to be under our feet. We used to sing a song. I'm going to put him under my feet. Under my feet. He's under my feet. I'm not going to listen to the voice of the enemy, that negative talk. Amen. And the only other place, the two places, is under our feet and behind us. Amen. Jesus said it to Peter one time, "Get behind me, Satan." So many times Satan is in front of us, and we become followers of Satan because we listen to the fears that go through our hearts and minds. And when we listen to those fears, we become intimidated, and then Satan becomes the one that we're following. I don't want to be a follower of Satan. Amen. Make sure that he's under your feet today. Don't entertain thoughts from Satan. Don't entertain thoughts from Satan, an intimidator. When he came to Eve in the garden, he came for one purpose, to intimidate her. To intimidate her and saying, "God really didn't say this. That's not really going to happen. You don't know what you're saying." And the devil likes to belittle people. He likes to think, he likes to get people to think that you're a nothing, you're a nobody. You'll never do anything for God. We can't let him do that to us. And so we as you, humans, and it's our human nature, and as long as we're living, we are going to fight our flesh. Our flesh just doesn't up and die when we accept Jesus as our Savior. How wonderful and how good that would be. Our flesh isn't going to up and die and have no more trouble with the flesh until the time that Satan is bound for that 1,000 years. Amen. Then we're not going to have to face the tormentor anymore. But we have a tendency to allow doubt and fear and anger and pain and bitterness and worry and anxiety to rule over us. We have a tendency to do that. All of us do, myself included. Amen. I'm going to say it again. We allow doubt and fear and anger to rule over us. Amen. And pain. Bitterness. If anybody's ever done you wrong, there can be a bitterness that comes out of that. Amen. And it just eats away at us. It just gnaws away at us. The Bible talks, I believe it's in the Word, about that root of bitterness. Amen. We allow worry and anxiety to rule over us. Anxiety, what are you anxious about? You're probably going to face something this week that you have a little bit of anxiety about it because you just don't know what the decision's going to be, what the direction it's going to go. Amen. If you're going to get a report from a doctor this week on something, you can have anxiety, and we tend to allow those things to rule over us. But when we do that, we are allowing the enemy to be in front of us. Amen. He's in front of us then because we're letting that rule over us. Amen. Anxiety and worry. Bitterness is a bad one. Amen. And fear and anger, being angry about something. And intimidation, what will it do? It will hold you back from what God wants you to do. What God wants you to do. I think in Sunday school this morning, Brother Kyle or Sister Linda, God has a plan and a purpose for every life. For every one of you here this morning, that there isn't no nobodies in God's kingdom. God has a special task and a purpose for everybody. He has something that you want, that he wants you to do. But if we're intimidated, it will hold us back from doing what God wants us to do. I want to do what God wants me to do. Don't be intimidated by the enemy. Amen. Intimidation and fear, they come from the enemy. Amen. And what that intimidation and fear, if you've ever experienced it, and I'm sure we all have, it's like a stun gun. It paralyzes us. It's like that lion that roars. It paralyzes you. If you were out in the jungles and you thought you were out there all alone, and all of a sudden you would hear the roar of a lion, don't tell me you wouldn't stop in your tracks. And you would be like, where did that come from? It would intimidate you. It would paralyze you. It would send a fear over you. Amen. And so intimidation and fear from the enemy, it's like a stun gun. It just paralyzes us. We don't know. We lose our sense of direction. We don't know where we're going and where we're headed. And it's probably one of the most common tools that the enemy uses against us is fear and intimidation. And so we're talking about lions this morning. The first scripture we read, it says the devil goes about as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And so why do lions roar? To intimidate their prey. prey to paralyze them. They just let that roar out of them in fear and worry in your life. You know what the result of it's going to be? It's going to be intimidation. And I came across this information here. There was an article in the USA Weekend in August of 97 written by Robert Morgan. And he wrote an article entitled, Fear. What are Americans afraid of today? And I'm going to read through this, and you're going to see what Americans are afraid of today. And fear and intimidation begin to rule people, and they don't reach their full potential. And I have quite a list here to read. 54, and this is back in 97, so this would be before the 9/11 incident. This would be before the terrible pandemic of COVID. So things have changed since then, but back in 97, 54% of Americans were very fearful of being in a car crash. Very fearful of being in a car crash. 53% of Americans were afraid of being diagnosed with cancer. These are things that work in the back. Be careful. None of these are working in your mind. Oh, I'm fearful. I'm going to be in a car crash. Can't go anywhere. Can't do anything. Might be in a car crash. Don't let that rule you. Afraid of getting cancer, a diagnosis of cancer. 50% of the Americans are afraid when they come to retirement age there's going to be inadequate Social Security. 49% of Americans are afraid they're not going to even have enough money for retirement. 36% of Americans, and has this crossed your mind, are afraid of food poisoning. We went somewhere and ate out Friday night, and we come home, and all of a sudden it hit both of us like you wouldn't believe. I'm glad I have two bathrooms in my house, that's all I'll say. It didn't last long, but it wasn't good. I don't know about my wife, but it crossed my mind. Now, I work in medical a little bit, so it crossed my mind. I thought, maybe we got food poisoning. Maybe we're going to go have to have our stomachs pumped out. Who knows what's going to happen here. But 36% of Americans are afraid of food poisoning. Here's one here. 35% of Americans are afraid, have a fear of getting Alzheimer's disease. 35%, that's a pretty high percentage. That's 3.5 people out of 10, to break it down for you, are afraid of getting Alzheimer's disease. They have that fear. 34% of Americans have fear of the pesticides that are on food. And maybe I do, because I say rightfully so. You're better to grow your own. 33% have a fear of being a victim of crime. 30% have a fear of being exposed to germs and viruses. 28% have a fear of getting AIDS. 25% have a fear of natural disasters. And then I have a little bit more. 9 out of 10 say the world was a safer place to live when they were growing up. I've said that. Man, when I grew up, it was fun. You drove through neighborhoods. There were kids everywhere playing ball, riding bicycles. Now you're right around town. I don't even think any kids live in Kane. But yet I go by the school, there's kids everywhere. I don't know where they come from. But 9 out of 10 say the world was a safer place to live in when they were growing up. 4 out of 10 people back in 97 have a fear of walking more than a half a mile from their home at nighttime. And I can understand that. You get into some of the city areas. So 1 out of 5 people have a fear of being caught in a shooting in a public place. They have those fear. So have that fear. Fear is a tool of the enemy. It's an old tool of the enemy to make us fearful, to intimidate us so that we won't do it. Why don't we go out and talk more freely to people about Jesus? Because basically we have a fear of doing it because we feel intimidated. We feel like they have something over on us. They're going to come back against us. Why do we have a fear? And we're doing remodeling in the foyer of the church, and I want to get a new kind of a track rack and get some tracks available. What's so hard about taking tracks and just going, here's something for you, and handing it out? Because we have a fear of rejection. We have a fear that they're not going to accept what we have to say. And so with that fear comes an intimidation. And I read 2 Timothy 1:7, but God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. That spirit of fear, all those things that I just read about, and there's other things that could be added to it. God didn't give that to us. God doesn't want us to be fearful of anything. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And coming up here in the month of September, I think it's the 27th, they do that meeting at the pole, prayer at the pole, whatever they call it, the flag thing they do at school. There's a lot of kids in school that will not participate in something like that, even though they are Christians, because of fear and intimidation. They just feel they'll be made fun of. And I don't want to have people coming after me and saying things about me. We have to be careful with that fear and intimidation. Amen. And what does intimidation do? Intimidation and fear, it makes you feel second best. It makes you timid. It makes you afraid. I'm second best. Don't ever stand up in front of the church. I don't like this. And I say this, and I'll say it publicly now. I know in my mind, I know there's a lot of people that can preach a whole lot better than I can. But when it's my turn to get up there, I get up there and I do not say, I don't know why I'm here. There's other ones can do it so much better than what I'm doing. Don't talk like that. Amen. When God anoints you to do something, God has opened an opportunity for you. You get up there and you stand and you preach and you sing like there's nobody else in that church that's able to do it. Amen. We need to be bold in Christ. Amen. Because intimidation, it makes you feel second best. Maybe there is somebody in the congregation that can sing a whole lot better than you. They can play music a whole lot better than you. But you get up there and you do it, and don't be intimidated with fear. Amen. And let that rule. You're not second best. Amen. We don't need to be so timid. When you're asked to do something, you get up and you just do it, because God will anoint you for the occasion and the time. Everybody has their favorite preacher. Everybody has their favorite singer. We're just that way. But when it's your turn, please don't say, I don't know why they asked me. There's so many more that could do so much better than me. Stand up and say, I thank God for this opportunity that I have. I'm going to sing, and I might not sing, you know, like the blue jay or whatever. I might sing like a crow. I might sing like a turkey, but I'm going to sing for the glory of God, and you just let it come out of you. Amen. The lion, he represents intimidation. We're talking about the lion this morning. Intimidation. What's intimidation that comes to our mind? It comes to our lives. An intimidating thing is extreme difficulties that you're facing. It's intimidating because you don't have the answer. You don't know where to go. You don't know how it's going to work out. Because Sister Brooke's been requesting prayer for her, I think she calls her Nana. Am I right? Nan. But she's been requesting prayer for her that the thing will work out, that it'll work out. But there can become intimidation with that, because that's an intimidation, because that's an extreme difficult situation. They're intimidated by it. They don't know what to go or what to do, what direction to go in, how it's all going to work out. It can be intimidating. So extreme difficulties are intimidations that come to us. And that's one that we just called out in the little congregation that we have here. All of us in our lives are probably facing something that's an extreme difficult situation for you. It's intimidating. You don't know what you're going to do. You really don't have the answer. But we know a Jesus that has all the answers. And we need to turn to him for our help. And we need to rise up against the enemy. Amen. What do? Lions will tear their prey to pieces. Amen. And intimidation and fear, it can tear you to pieces if you don't grab the bull by the horn and say, I got this. Amen. He's my mighty tower. Amen. I'm hiding under the shadow of the Almighty. My God knows everything. There was just a situation that arose, and I made a prayer this way. I've never done it. Amen. And it's dealing and talking with someone. And I said, God, I don't know all the details of the situation, but you know every single detail of the situation. You know just exactly how it went down and how it happened. And God, I want you to give me wisdom that when I speak with these people, I'll speak your words, because you know how everything just went down. We can do that with God. But in myself, I'm intimidated by it, because who am I to know the situation? Who am I to be able to give an answer? But I serve a God who has the answer. Amen. And we can ask him for the answer. And it's the same way for the extreme difficulties that you're facing today. Amen. You have to say, God, we don't know what to do. We're looking to you. We have to do what we have to do. But God, we're going to get through this, and you're going to walk us this, and you're going to show us the path. You're going to open doors. You're going to close doors because you're a faithful God. I'm not going to let this situation, I'm not going to let this extreme difficulty in my life tear me to pieces, because it can. It can, and you can probably think of others, that extreme difficulties that they face, it just tore them to pieces. That's what the enemy wants to do. The devil, what does he do? He comes as a roaring lion with fear, with anger, and with destruction. Amen. To cause harm. The devil means to cause harm. That's what he wants to do. The lion, he's out for one thing. He's a destroyer. And the lion's going to have it his way. What's the word that they have for the lion? He's the what of the animal kingdom? He's the king of the animal kingdom. There's nobody. He don't have anybody to fear, because he's on top of the chain. He's the most powerful, and he's out to destroy. Amen. And he secretly lies in the enemy of our soul. The devil, don't think for a minute he's not secretly lying in wait to try to destroy you and me. He wants to destroy every one of us, and he's relentless. He just keeps coming after us. He just keeps coming after us. That's why we need Jesus in our life. That's why we need that close relationship with Jesus. Amen. Because I don't want to be destroyed by the enemy. I don't want to become prey to the enemy. I don't want to be torn to pieces by the enemy. Amen. Yeah, God can put me back together again if that happens, but it don't have to go that way. Amen. He comes as a roaring lion. He comes to cause harm. He never comes for good. Then we go over to the book of Nehemiah, and I'm going to turn over there. And I don't have it marked, so it's going to take me a minute to find it too. The book of Nehemiah, amen, over in the Old Testament. We're going to go there. And Nehemiah was a man. Nehemiah chapter 6 we're going to look at this morning just for a little bit. He was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, and he had opposition. And the people that were coming against him were trying to intimidate him, trying to stop him from what he knew he should do, trying to stop him from what he knew that God wanted him to do. And there's an enemy out there this morning that's trying to stop you from doing what you know that God wants you to do, that call that God has on your life, the direction that he wants you to go in. It's not like God says, this is the direction to go, and you're like, yes, Lord, speak, for thy servant heareth, and we just go, and we don't meet any opposition along the way. It's just a gold street we're walking down. I have news for you this morning. It doesn't happen that way. Amen. The valiant take it by force. You have to have a determination. You have to know that this is what God wants me to do, and I'm going to do it. And all the opposition that comes against me, all the fiery darts that come against me, however he comes against me, my mind is set. Amen. And I'm going to do what God wants me to do, because opposition will come. Oh, just because God said go do something, you think the enemy's going to say, well, I can't touch them because God told them to do it. So they're hands off now. They're not hands off now. Amen. He's still going to come after you, but we need to realize greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. I can run through a troop. I can leap over a wall. Amen. I can do great things for Christ as I let this God work in me. So Nehemiah, as he was rebuilding the walls, he had opposition. Nehemiah chapter 6, we're going to read a few verses here. We're going to start in verse 9, chapter 6, verse 9. For they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Afterward, I came unto the house of Shemaiah, the son of whatever, the son of, I'm going to try to read those names, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. Dropping down to verse 13. Therefore was he hired that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. So what did they do? They said their hands were going to be weakened from the work. And he says, that it not be done. In verse 9, he said, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. That song, when I am weak, he is strong. when we feel weak and we feel that fear coming over us and we feel like we're inadequate, that's when it's a good time to let Christ arise within us. And as Nehemiah said here, he says, "Oh God, strengthen my hands. I can do this thing." In 13, there was one hired that I should be afraid. There was one hired to come to try to make me fearful so that I wouldn't do these things. And so Nehemiah was doing a good thing. You think that God would be there and just keep all the enemy away, but the enemy came as a testing to him. And so Nehemiah, he refused to be intimidated with fear of the enemy. He completed the task because he had faith and confidence in God's plan. You need to have faith and confidence in God's plan for your life. Oh, don't ever change that. Once you get it down in your heart and God speaks to you what the plan for your life is and what it is that God wants you to do, you can take a confidence, you can take a faith in that, and you can complete that task. But if you don't have it made up in your mind, well, I'm not really sure if this is what God wants me to do. I was thinking this is what he wanted me to do, but man, now there's all kinds of opposition. The doors are shutting, and I'm thinking maybe God's saying to me, this isn't what I want. Maybe it's the devil that's shutting the doors. Maybe it's the devil that's getting in the way. That's why it's important to know what it is that God wants you to do and to move forward in it. Amen. You can have a peace in your heart. You can get that answer as you're laying up on your bed at night. Amen. You're resting, but you're thinking and you're meditating, and the answer comes to you. This is what I should do. And then you set out to do it, and you meet opposition, but yet you knew that God spoke to you, and there's nothing that's going to deter you. You're going to keep moving in that direction, and God will come through for you. There are real lions out there, and there's imaginary lions. Don't give up when facing spiritual lions. Spiritual lions, don't give up. You're not a Christian. You can't do it. See, you are a flop. You are a failure. Look at that one. They're so much better than you. And you think you're getting to heaven by these things that's going on in your life? That's the devil trying to intimidate people. Amen. That's the devil. That's a spiritual lion. And don't allow to rule in your heart. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Don't run from the lions in your life, because until you defeat those lions, you're going to keep facing them over and over and over again. You have to face those lions in your life. Whatever lion it is that you're facing today, amen, you need to take the bull by the horns and say, God, I got this. You and me together, we can do this. Amen. We can run through a troop. We can leap over a wall. We can put the enemy to flight. Don't run from the lion. Daniel, he wasn't intimidated by the lion. And what was the lion that came to him? Well, there was a rule. There was a law passed in the land that nobody could pray to a god other than to the king, to their gods. And Daniel could have been intimidated by that lion. But it says he prayed, I think it was 3 times a day. He would open his window and he didn't stop praying. He wasn't intimidated by the lion when they said that you can't pray to God. Are we going to be intimidated, amen, by the lion if they come out and say you can't pray to God? Are we going to be intimidated by the lion, amen, in school whenever they say you can't mention Jesus in school? Are we going to be intimidated by the lion, young ladies that are here this morning? If you do this, good. If you don't, you need to maybe think about it. You can't be bringing your Bible to school anymore. Are you going to be intimidated by that lion, by the threats that come out, the things that they say, all the lawlessness that there is in this country? It tends to make us feel intimidated. Amen. And he said, you can't pray to your God. That was the lion that he faced. What lion are you facing today? Don't be intimidated. In Daniel chapter 6 and verse 16, we're not going to read it. But Daniel, when he was facing those lions, I think you all know the story. He slept in the lion's den all night long. You might spend some time in the lion's den. You might face some times in your life where it's a real dark, bleak hour, and you think you're never going to get out of there. But you can come out of there unharmed. You can come out of there unscratched. And when you think about that, Daniel spending all night long with those lions in there, that's a miracle. Things like that don't happen. They were hungry lions. It was a torture chamber. That's how they would execute people, so to speak. Amen. Somebody got a death sentence, they would throw him into the lion's den. They kept those lions hungry. And when they dropped him in there, he should have been dead before before his body even hit the floor of that den. But yet he spent all night long in there. And the Bible doesn't talk much about it. In fact, it doesn't say anything. It says that he slept all night long, but we don't know what was going through Daniel's mind. He was human just like we are. We don't know what he was facing in his mind. And I think somebody else that spent some time in a lion's den, and that was Paul and Silas. They were being persecuted for the sake of the gospel, and they were unjustly put into a prison. They were whipped. They were in stocks and bonds, and in the midnight hour in their lion's den. Amen. When it looked like all hope was gone and the devil was trying to intimidate them, he was trying to shut them up. It said that they were singing praises unto God along about the midnight hour. You would have never thought that that was going to bring a deliverance to them, but I personally think that that earthquake was something that was sent from God to deliver those saints of God from the lion's den that they were in, from the pit that they were in. Why? Because in the midst of the storm of their life, they were singing and giving praise unto God. And so that as a message for us this morning, in the midst of the storms of your life, you need to be singing and giving praises unto God, not because everything is perfect and good in your life, but it's because he's worthy of praise and honor and glory and worship. And we give that to him irregardless of what I'm feeling in my physical body, irregardless of what kind of a circumstance I find myself in the moment. I'm still going to praise and worship God. I'm not going to let the situation intimidate me and shut me down. And so in the lion's den, there was no harm to Daniel. You can find out in Daniel chapter 6 in verses 22 through 23. And we know this, God shut the lion's mouth. God can shut the enemy down in your life, that the enemy means it for bad, but God's going to bring it to good. God can do that in your life. And so if you want to stop the lion's roar, if you want to stop the lion from roaring, quit listening to his roar. And how are you listening to his roar? You become paralyzed. When he roars, just keep going like you didn't hear nothing. There's a story told of one of the old preachers from years ago. And whether it's true or it's just a story told about him, he was in his bed. Might have been in the morning, might have been at night. He heard a ruckus going on at the foot of his bed, something in the room there. And he lit the lamp, however he had to do it. And he looked down and he says, "Oh, it's just you, devil." And he shut the light out and laid down and went to sleep. He wasn't going to be intimidated by him. Don't be intimidated by the devil. James chapter 4 and verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And the biggest problem we have with this scripture, we like that, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. But we have a problem with submitting ourselves to God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Submit yourselves to God first. Then you'll resist that devil and he will flee from you. And so what are you intimidated by today? Sister Oaks could come down to the piano here. We're going to sing, "Let God Arise and His Enemies Be Scattered." What are you being intimidated by today? It's a problem. It's a situation that's bigger than you are. And yes, naturally, I'm intimidated by this. The situation, the things that I'm facing, I'm fearful. I don't know. What are you intimidated by today? We have to stand up against the enemy. We have to stand up against him. And we have to realize, I'm going to read this scripture, and we're going to sing that song that I started out with over in 1 Peter chapter 5. That we have to realize we have to stand up against the enemy. Stand up against the enemy or just roll over and say, "You got me. I'm just paralyzed. I can't move from here." We have to stand up against the enemy. Let's read this again. 1 Peter 5, I'm going to read 8, 9, and 10. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while," I like this, "make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Let's stand to our feet this morning. Amen. Let's sing this song. "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered." And if there's a situation you're facing in your life today, and there's no wrong in admitting this, we're human, you're just intimidated by it. You're just like, you don't have the answer. It's like, "Oh God, you're going to have to help me. This mountain's bigger than I am. This is a big deal." we're going to sing this song. You come down here to the front this morning. I'm not going to ask you what it is unless you want to share that with me. And we're going to pray that God will send you the ministering angels on to you. They're going to help you. You're going to see very clearly the direction that the light's going to turn on, the door's going to open, and you're going to know, this is what I need to do. Refuse to be intimidated by the enemy. So if you need prayer this morning, amen, come down to the altar. We'll just pray with you that God will help you. Amen.